him what a great week we've had with Vacation Bible School. You see the report there. We had a lot of kids, and we had some salvation decisions and some others' decisions, but we've got a lot of names that we can reach out to and encourage some more as we follow up on those in the next few weeks. We appreciate your prayers. Maybe you'd like to be one of the folks that follows up on some of these people. Let me know. I will give you some and share with you what we want to accomplish there. But praise the Lord for Vacation Bible School. Thank you for praying for us. Some folks aren't able to be there to help, but many, I believe, prayed. And I thank you for that. Nothing gets accomplished without prayer, I think. God's will doesn't get accomplished without prayer. He says, call on me and I'll answer thee. And thank you for that. We're looking at James chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 1 to verse number 8. Verse number 1 to verse number 8. I'm thankful to have some answers to prayer already this morning, aren't you? Good to be in God's house. Good to see some new faces. And glad you're with us today. We're going to look at verses 1 through verse number 8. And I'm going to ask you to do this. Would you read responsively with me? We have the Bible in front of us. Good to read the Word of God together. I'll read verse 1. You read verse 2. We'll go back and forth. And verse number 8 will be the final verse that we're going to read here at this time. Let me begin with verse number 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Thank you very much. Look at verse 2 again, please, with me, if you would. The Bible says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. Temptations. Wow, what a great day. Everything's going wrong. Is that what God's telling us to do? I'm so happy that the house burned out or something like that, you know. Is he telling us to be joyful over wrongful things that happen? I believe he's telling us that in the midst of trials, which we all will deal with, there are many reasons to rejoice. You may have looked at this passage before. I have. I've gone to it more than once. When trials come, the word temptations there means literally examinations. Examinations. How many ever went to school? How many ever wrote things down that were school related? How many ever had a test they had to go through in order to get to that? You know what the word temptations mean. Examinations. Going through a situation to see where are we at in our understanding of what God wants us to do. Now the word temptations commonly, when we read through the other parts of Scripture, means that it's something that is striving, or it's a fleshly thing, a worldly thing, a satanic thing that is there to seduce us to do wrong. The word temptations here is a situation, an examination that is meant to help us do right, that is meant to help us have a positive and beneficial result. Temptations, examinations, often referred to as trials. A Naval Academy student was being tested by an old sea captain. The captain said, what would you do if a sudden storm sprang up on the starboard side? I'd throw out an anchor, sir, replied the naval student. Well, what would you do, asked the old captain, if another storm sprang up on the aft? I'd throw out another anchor, sir, answered the student. And if another terrific storm sprang up forward, what would you do then? Asked the captain. I'd throw out another anchor, replied the student. And then the captain, with a little bit of irritation, said, hold on, son. Where are you getting all your anchors from? And the student said, the same place you're getting all your storms, sir. You know, trials. Hey, if you're a good Christian, can I share something with you? You're going to have trials. If you're a bad Christian, can I tell you something? you're going to have trials. Did you realize it's not a matter of spirituality whether you have trials or not? God says everyone who claims the name of Christ is going to have trials. Notice what it says. Count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. He didn't say when you're on the mountaintop with the Lord or when you're in the valleys. No, it's going to be something that's going to come and by God's grace will go. But trials and tests, God tells us that when some of those worst things challenge our faith, that we should see it as a time, listen to this, to rejoice. To rejoice. God says he wants you and I to understand when we ask Christ to save us, when we receive his wonderful gift of salvation, we have lasting joy. Amen? Lasting joy. Philippians chapter 4 says, rejoice in the Lord. How often? Always. And again, I say rejoice. Lasting joy. And even when trials come, tests, temptations, God says, here's what we need to do. Count it. Look at it as if it's a time to rejoice. How can we do that? How is that possible? Because trials in God's word here, these temptations, are not a result of necessarily wrongdoing. It's a result of living this life and awaiting on Christ and waiting for him to come. God says you can count it as a time to rejoice. If you'd like me to answer any phones, I will be happy to do that. I'll let them know you're busy right now. Amen? Amen? I'd like to share with you this morning, here's the title if you're writing notes, Three Reasons to Rejoice in Trials. Three Reasons to Rejoice in Trials. I'm anxious to find out what those are because, boy, I need them, don't you? I need them. Would you bow with me and we'll ask God to help us before we go any further. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your joy that lasts for eternity, Lord. And I thank you that we're all here this morning. There might be a soul that needs that joy simply by receiving Christ as Savior. Would you make this the day of salvation for them? Open that understanding. Help me as we share the gospel, Lord. But also for us believers, Lord, those that know Christ as Savior, thank you, God, for that saving grace. We're still sinners saved by grace. And yet we need to rejoice. Show us, Lord, how to get through these temptations, these examinations, that we can see that the joy that comes from you is always accessible to us. May you get the glory through all things said and done, decisions we need to make, Lord. We would not wait, but get right with you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Three reasons to rejoice in trials. Number one, right there in verse number two is this. I'm just going to give it right to you. Trials, number one, indicate God's desire to do a work through me. Trials indicate a desire, God's desire to do a work through me. When I say me, I mean you, I mean anyone that knows Jesus as Savior. Trials indicate God's desire. Again, temptations is that testing, that trying, as the Bible puts it, of faith with a beneficial purpose in mind. That's the Lord's desire for you and me. Let's consider a few people who went through some testing, some temptations in the Bible, not of wrongdoing they did, but yet God allowed it. How many remember the man Job in the Bible? Job in the Bible, right in the first chapter, Job chapter 1. Everything we're told about all that he has in wealth, all that he has in family, all that he has in his friends, etc., his reputation, all those things were all gone by the end of chapter 1. All of his children were killed. All of his wealth was taken. Even his very health, the Bible says, eventually, God allowed Satan to touch his body so that the crown of his head, the Bible says, to the bottom of his foot, he had boils, he had sores. There was nothing he could do to find relief. And yet, what did he say? In all these things, he did not curse the Lord. He said, I bless the Lord. I honor him. And let him take, he thought for sure his life was next. He said, go ahead, Lord. Here I am. But God didn't do that. God allowed him and gave him strength to go through. How about Joseph? Joseph of the Old Testament. Remember Joseph? Joseph was a young man who loved God, a son of Israel, son of Jacob, and he had other brothers. Because he loved the Lord and he was loved by his father, he was hated and despised by his brothers. As a young man, as a young teenager, sold into slavery, and then later on, as God used him to show himself in his leadership, even when he was in the home of the slave owner that he lived in, he was falsely accused, thrown in jail. And even there, he became a leader in the jail, but yet he was still had to wait for God to show himself strong through him. Eventually, God used him to save literally the family, the family. How about Daniel? How many remember Daniel in the Bible? A man of God, a great counselor, the Bible calls him, and a man of great prayer, known specifically for his prayer and his faith that God, whatever happens, God's going to take care of it. Daniel showed himself strong, falsely accused again, thrown in the lion's den when he was an old man. He was thrown in the lion's den, and God stopped the mouths of the lions and saved his life. How many remember in the New Testament? Stephen. Stephen. In the New Testament, in the book of Acts, right at the beginning of the New Testament church, Jesus now has ascended. The church is beginning to grow. People are coming to Christ. And yet the Jewish establishment, the priests, the Levites, etc., they hated to see Christians grow like that. And Stephen just shared with them very clearly, it was your wicked heart that sent the Savior, the Messiah, to the cross. And by the way, it wasn't just the Jew's wicked heart that has to be dealt with. Amen. Every man's heart needs to be dealt. Every woman's heart, every young person's heart. And yet Stephen, he showed himself faithful to the Lord. He did not live through that trial, but he was a hero of the faith. Amen. Amen. The Bible says he was a man full of the Holy Ghost. And by God's grace, even today, we look to him as an example of one who follows faithfully the Lord Jesus. Trials. Trials are a time for joy because here's why. God is going to do something in and through the Christian. He says, my brethren. You know, every time you see the word brethren, especially in the New Testament, it means this. Those that have received Christ as Savior, my brethren, my beloved, etc., in the New Testament, referring to the believer in Jesus Christ. He says, count it all joy. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. This was James, the book of James, half-brother of Jesus. Here the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 says this, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I what? Strong. Strong. Trials indicates God's desire to do a work through me. And because of that, Lord, you're counting me worthy to do something? I'm not worthy of that, but if that's what you want to do, Lord, I'll rejoice in that. I'll rejoice. Number two reason to rejoice in trials this morning is this, found in verse number 3. Look at that one, please. Verse number 3 in James chapter 1. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, the Bible says. Patience. Number two, trials drive me to the prayer closet with God. Notice verse number 5 as well. He says, if any of you, by the way, who's he talking to? The brethren, who are what? We just talked about it. Believers in Christ. Christians, if any of you lack wisdom. Christian, can I ask you a question? Have you ever lacked wisdom before? If you're still human and you're still breathing oxygen, you've lacked wisdom like me. Here's what he says. If any of you lack wisdom, what do? Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Trials drive me to the prayer closet with God. You know, interestingly, the temptations, the examinations, the trying of the faith, the specific circumstances here, especially in James chapter 1, are not specified. You ever notice that? They're not specified. Well, I've lost my health. That must be one of them. Could be. I've lost my money. That could be one of them. We were taking an offering for our missionaries, and you saw, wow, almost $1,000 for the missionaries from VBS. A lot of that came through the helpers. And man, everything we had in our pockets, we were passing out. And by the end of the week, we're all broke. But praise God, missionary Michael Miller is going to see and use that to reach more people for Christ. Amen? That's what that's all about. Maybe you've lost money. That must be it. Well, it could be. How about friends? Oh man, I've lost them too. I've even lost whatever else, you name it. The circumstances are not specified. So here's what it is. You see, trials are perfectly fit for you. The trial I have is perfectly fit for me. The trial you have is fit for you. God is helping you and I in those personal ones. But the reason for trials is specified. What is it? Take a look at verse number 3 again. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, what's the reason? Worketh patience. Patience. Now we have a couple little kids in our house. And we love them very much. And you love them too. And we're so grateful for that. But one thing I forgot is that kids are not patient. How many know what I'm talking about? Kids are not patient. Oh, yes. They want us to know when they're hungry. They want us to know when they don't want to do something. They want us to know when it's time to do something that we said we'd do. You know, oh, they remember those things. Then I consider my Heavenly Father and where I'm at with Him. Aren't I like that too, Lord? I tell you what you need to do, and I want it not right now. How many have ever prayed and asked God for something right now? Or I tell the Lord, here's exactly what it's got to be, Lord, and if it's not that, it must not be from you. You know, as a Christian, I need to grow in patience. Patience. That abiding, that waiting in relief for Jesus Christ. Can I share something with you right now, real quickly? If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, perhaps you're here this morning. You've been going through life. You've looked for answers. And it's clear that there's sin to deal with in your own life, as we all have it. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory. You're no different than anybody else like that. The wonderful news, I should say, let me tell you the bad news first, and then I'll tell you the good. The bad news about sin is this. Number one, we all have to deal with it. Number two, sin demands a price. God demands that sin be paid for. That sin can be paid for one of two different ways. The first way is to pay for it myself. That is not by giving to charities. It is not by being in church all the time. It is not by doing anything of good works that gets me that price paid for. All those things are good, and we certainly want people to do good things. Amen. But God says what you do good is not going to get you here. It's what my Son Jesus Christ did on the cross is what's going to get you here. If I rely on my goodness or the good things I do or works that I have accomplished, my sin still is uncovered. My sin still is not paid for. And the Bible says there will come a time when I draw my last breath that the first place I'll visit right after that, the first place I'll be is a place called hell. Hell is as real as you and I are right now. It's as real as the pew you're sitting on and the things your eyes tell you you see. It exists today. The Bible tells us there are souls there right now. They are tormented because they chose to pay themselves. They did not take God up on His offer. They continued to pay for it themselves. The Bible says that hell is the first holding place. Hell is the place where the Bible says that the worm dieth not. That means nobody's going to decay. No soul's going to decay there. That the fire is not quenched. That the torment is continual. And that there's going to come a day when the next place that the soul from hell stands is before the great white throne seat of God, the judgment seat of God, the Heavenly Father Himself. Revelation tells us that those that stand before God in that judgment seat will answer for their works. What everybody thinks they're going to get into heaven on, God says it's the works that's going to condemn us. Because the works aren't good enough, because you have to be perfect to get into heaven. How many knew God's heaven is perfect? Amen. Holy. Matter of fact, the angels there, the Bible says, sing holy, holy, holy unto the Lord of hosts. And if I walk in there without any kind of a covering from Christ, it's not holy anymore. God says, I will be condemned. If I reject Christ, I will be condemned. With hell and death, the Bible says, all lost will be cast into a place called the lake of fire, never to escape. That's one way. That's one way. But remember, the Bible tells us there's two. The other way is this. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. And He paid for you. Here's what the Bible says. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man, woman, child should boast. My friend, if you're here this morning, and you've never received God's wonderful gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, here's what the gift is. Jesus came to this world. This is the good news. This is the good news. Amen? The good news is this, that God came to earth himself in the flesh. He did not sin. He did not have sin inside that you and I have. No, he lived the holy life. He lived the sinless life. He was falsely accused as a young man. He was sent to the cross. But it was all part of God's plan for the Lamb of God to pay the sacrifice for mankind. And his shed blood on the cross, the Bible says, covered the sins of men, but only those who call on Christ for salvation. Would you do that? Would you do that? His blood can pay for you. It is already paid, I should say. It's already paid. All you got to do is receive it, just like a gift. You don't pay for a gift, you receive it. Amen? You receive it. If that's you this morning, would you receive what Christ's wonderful gift? But certainly prayer, calling on the Lord, that's what the Lord desires to hear from you. Now, Christian friend, here's the truth. Without Jesus, this life is a long trial. With Jesus, there's relief in the prayer closet. There's relief in the prayer closet. Go find that private place. Amen? Go find that private place. And get with God and lay it all out on the table with him and ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I love when we're in those moments, I encourage you, take the Bible with you. Take the Bible with you. How many realize that they don't remember every verse in the Bible? That's why God gave it to us. Amen. Take the Bible with you. Open it up and read the scriptures and let the Holy Spirit talk right back to you and let God speak through his word. The Lord wants to hear from you and me, and he says, especially in the midst of the trials, my faith in God's ability to provide can increase. They drive me to the prayer closet. You see, God meets the needs that I yield to him. Look at verse 5 again. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God is constantly and consistently present, and I understand that even more when I go to the prayer closet, when I'm talking with him. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says this. Chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Trials. You can rejoice, amen? You can rejoice, but here's a couple reasons why. Because God desires to do a work through me. And it drives me to the prayer closet with him. And here's the third one. Let's look at verse number four. Here's what it says. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Number three, trials focus my priority on bringing glory to God. Trials focus my priority on bringing glory to God. Now, all this week, we've used some object lessons with the boys and girls, VBS, and that got me to thinking, an object lesson. But guess what I forgot this morning? I forgot the object, so I'm going to use your imagination. How many have an imagination here? All right, let's use it for God today. How many have ever held a pair of binoculars? You've ever looked through a pair of binoculars? You have a pair of binoculars, and we can see things that we can't see close up that we can see far away with binoculars. I found there's six basic components in binoculars. There's the objective lens, which is the end, the final lens that we see things through on the other side. There's prisms that bounce the image and actually turn it so that we can see it right side up instead of upside down. There's the ocular lens, which is the lens on the side that you look through. The thumb wheel, which moves the focusing part of it. The casing barrel that holds it all together, and then there's the focus wheel, which is usually on the lenses that go around your eyes so that you can taper them, you can focus them to exact eyes that you use. All these components need to be in sync to get a clear view of the object, each one of them. If the one side is foggy, then the vision's going to be a little blurred. If it's not quite, the thumb wheel is not quite turned to the right spot, then what you're trying to look at, you won't see very well. if the ocular lens, the focus wheels on the lenses near your eyes, if one's off and the other's not, then it's not going to look clear to you as you look through it. But you know what God wants you and I to do? As we look through the lens of the trials, here's what the Bible says, that we let him focus for us. Notice what it says, verse number 4 again. But, here's the little word, let. That goes against us. That goes against our nature. Because we want to be in the control of the trials. Whereas God says, let me. Let patience have her perfect work, that she may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Perfect meaning complete, mature, where you need to be. If I try to control the trial, then I'll keep wanting. I'll not be satisfied. I only have limited resources, and pretty soon I'm going to use all those up, whether it's financial, whether it's my own faculties, whether it's whatever. God says eventually my resources are going to dry out. Someone put it this way, in adversity, we usually want God to do a removing job when he wants to do an improving job. Let God, the Bible says, let patience have her perfect work. If God controls the trial, we're submitted to him, surrendered, Lord, whatever you choose to do, whatever you want to do, I'll grow in my faith towards you. God controls it. Then I'll see, listen, how to be in Jesus. Turn with me to this one, John chapter 16. Then I'll see how to be in Jesus. John chapter 16 and verse 33 is what Jesus tells us. If God controls the trial, then I'll see how to go through it and be, the Bible says, in Jesus. I know he's in me. But God says as the trials come, as the tests, as the examinations, the temptations come, I need to be in him. Here's what it says in John 16, verse number 33. It says this, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have what? Peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Notice those two little words right near the middle of the verse. These things have I spoken unto you, that what? In me, Jesus said. In me. And that might be the hardest lesson to learn of all. How do we do it in him? One way is, God says, let me be in control. Let me. He says, let patience have her perfect work. You know Psalm 23, the shepherd's psalm. If you know verse number 1, just the first verse, would you say it with me? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You see, God wants us to slow down when we read that, because we all realize that the Lord is a shepherd. He's my shepherd if I know Christ. But here's what he can do for me. Because he's my shepherd, I shall not want. Trials. Can you rejoice in them? Absolutely. Here's some ways God says to do it. Number one, remember that it indicates God's desire to do a work through you. Number two, that it drives you to the prayer closet with him, and that's where the relief is. And number three, that you need to focus your priority on bringing glory to God. Number three, trials focus my priority on bringing glory to God. Is he getting the glory out of everything? The only way it's going to happen is if I give it all to him. Here I am, Lord. I give it to you. He wants you and I to grow in our faith and understanding of him. Some years ago, we had a missionary. His name was Ron Brooks. I don't know if anyone remembers him. He was a big man. Big man. And he was a Vietnam veteran. He was a major in the Air Corps. And so they called him Major Ron Brooks. That was his title. He became later a pastor, a missionary, went back to Vietnam, went to Germany, started a church there for the military families that were stationed there, saw God do great things. At the end of his life, he became part of a missions board and helped missionaries throughout their that God wanted them to do. But I remember Major Ron Brooks sharing this illustration one time about how we need to trust and give over to the Lord. He talked about his duties in Vietnam. One of them was to be a flight commander. A flight commander was one of those men who flew on the planes that had the satellite and radars high above everything else. They were well out of any kind of enemy fire. They were well out of the range of those that the Vietnamese could fire at them. Their job was to help the fighter pilots to see where they were supposed to go, if they were going to be on an attack, if they were going to be escape. The flight plan for fighters and bomber missions was part of their responsibility. The flight command, which was that plane way high up in the sky, used radar high above those positions. If enemy positions were in different locations than expected, which I remember him saying happened a lot, the only way to find them was when you had the immediate radar at your disposal. They had maps, they had intelligence, they had reports, but by the time they got up in the air, that things could have been different, and often it was. So if enemy positions were in different locations than expected, the flight plan needed to change immediately for the pilot to be safe. Flight command would give immediate alternative courses. The trusting pilot did not question or wait to see if he knew a better way of escape. To save his life, the pilot had to completely trust the flight command. Any pilots that didn't, often, he said, we never saw them again. Can I tell you, friends, we've got a flight command way up. But he's not so far that we can't access him. Amen? He's available any moment, at any time, in different trials and temptations and tests. And God says, I'm going to give you reason to rejoice. But look at it through the lens that I'll give you. Trust in me. Heavenly Father, I pray, as we deal with trials in life, regardless of where we're at in our spiritual walk, we know they're going to happen, Lord. And yet you have given us a way to go through them with joy. I pray, Father, that we would see, that we would give over and let you have your way. Some of us are in those trials right now. I pray you would burden our hearts to bring them to you. Perhaps there's a soul with us, Lord, that just simply needs to receive the payment Jesus did on the cross, that payment is still good today, that it can save their soul for eternity. I pray this would be the time they call on you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. With heads bowed, eyes closed, please, I'm going to ask that no one look around, please. I'm going to ask you a question or two, and then I'll pray, and then we'll go on to the Lord's Supper. But maybe you're here this morning, and friend, first of all, can I ask you, do you need Christ as your Savior? That is, you've been born, you've lived, but you've never asked God to save you through what Jesus did on the cross. There's no question that sin needs to be dealt with in life, but it can be today if you've never done it by calling on Jesus. How many would say, Pastor, that's me. I've never asked God to save me, but I want to do it today. I don't want to wait anymore. I've never done it before. I want to do it today. I want to get born again. Would you remember me when you close? And friend, you can pray and ask God to save you right in your seat. You don't need my prayers. My prayer is not going to save you. But your call out to God can, in faith. Pastor, pray for me. I'm going to call on God right here where I'm sitting. I'm going to ask God to save me right here, right now. If that's you, would you allow me to just thank the Lord for that? By raising a hand and putting it right back down. No one's looking, it's just me. And we'll not embarrass anybody. Pray for me. I want to do that right here, right now, where I'm sitting. I want to get saved. Question number two. Believer in Christ, this was for us. There's no question of trial, of temptations. They're going to come. But God says you can rejoice. How many would say, Pastor, please remember me. I'm born again, and I'm in a trial. You know what it is, I don't know. I'm in a trial. Would you pray with me that I'll follow God's plan and rejoice in what he says I can rejoice in. Would you pray with me about that? Anybody like that? Here's my hand. Pray for me. I'm in a trial. You know what it is. I don't know. That I'll rejoice in what God says I can rejoice in. Amen. Yes, amen. God does not say to rejoice in sinful decisions, but rejoice through the trials, what he can do through them. Anybody else? Several have said, pray for me. Anybody else? Amen. Yeah, I'm in a trial. I know what it is. You know what it is. But God can help us. Amen. Yes, I saw that. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would answer our call to you, Lord, for help. For help, Lord. Because you said we should have joy. We can have it all the time, even in the midst of these temptations, the trying of our faith. Lord God, would you answer our call? These many folks who said, we need you. Help us to go through it with joy. And give us evidence, Lord. Give us evidence so that we may testify of that, of what you're doing in our lives and what Jesus can do in the life of somebody else. May you get the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. We're going to sing a song. Brother Doug's going to come and lead us in that song. And when we do, we'll stand and we'll prepare for the Lord's table as the men come while we begin to sing. Would you stand with me and we'll sing number 329. 329. Let's turn there, please, as the men come and prepare the Lord's table. Excuse me.
The cross upon which Jesus died.